Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're here again today with Peter Burak. We've been talking all week about the beautiful preaching of St. Peter from Acts chapter 2, from the day of Pentecost, the church, as we celebrate the octave of Easter, the resurrection of our Lord. But I forgot to say, Christ is risen, friends.
He is risen indeed.
Yeah, welcome back, Pete.
Thanks.
But as we walk through this, the church puts before us the unfolding of the life of the church, because the resurrection of Jesus and the birth of the church are all connected. If he doesn't rise from the dead, if he doesn't rise to the right hand of the Father, if he doesn't pour out the Holy Spirit, there is no church. And it's so crucial to see that the church is God's creation. It's God's reality. It's his church. Jesus is the king of the church. So as we go through this, this should encourage you. I hope it's encouraging to you. And remember, nothing will ever defeat the king. The devil is not Jesus' equal. Jesus is infinitely more powerful than the devil. And nothing can destroy his church. The Lord may allow it to be purified. He may allow it to be disciplined because he loves it. He might prune his church, the rest of it. But it's all in his hands. And he wants us to live with great confidence, as the apostles did, even when they went to the point of Peter being crucified upside down, of St. Stephen being stoned. They knew that Jesus Christ is Lord. And it wasn't a defeat. They weren't losing by being absolutely rejected by the leaders of their time and being marginalized and even killed, murdered, you know, unjustly treated. That did not worry them. But as it turned out, the devil always bites his own tail. What looked like victory for the enemy was the shedding of blood, just like it shed the blood of the master. Then the blood of the saints ends up being the seed of the church. And so if the church gets persecuted, okay, we're all scared of it. We don't want to have it happen. Bring it on. Let it happen so Christ can be honored through weak flesh like us and the church can be what it's meant to be. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. So let's continue, Pete. You know, you ended with verse 36, where we talked about Jesus as Lord and Christ. Why don't we go on with 37 into this next section here in chapter 2?
Yeah, and this is the kind of the critical shift where Peter has laid out, I guess you could say, the Spirit-filled argument for what they're seeing and what this means for the crowd and what this means now for the world, really. As the Pope, he is standing there authoritatively declaring and revealing the situation. And then, remember, at the beginning of this passage, the crowd is skeptical to the point of insulting. You know, they're wondering if these apostles are drunk, and this is what shifts in them. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all that are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him." And he testified with many other words and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added to that day about 3,000 souls. So the first part I would like to highlight is he preaches in such a way that they go from insulting to questioning, basically. They are cut to the heart. This message cuts to the heart. When standing on two feet, when spoken with authority, and when filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, this is the most compelling message in the history of mankind. And it leads to a question that we should all desire to have asked of us. We should all live in a way, and even, dare I say, preach in a way, that people would respond to our life and our witness with, well, what should we do? Isn't that a great question? I love that question. What? Okay. All right. We hear what you're saying. It's moving our hearts. What should we do? And then Peter knows exactly what they should do, yeah, because it's exactly what Jesus has been preparing his apostles to do basically from the beginning. Repent, believe, be baptized, and then receive the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
It's all right there. I mean, that is the whole narrative is culminating into, all right, you believe in what we're saying. Now it's your chance through belief, through baptism, through professing Jesus as Lord. You can then be freed from your sins, forgiven of your sins, and receive the same Spirit that raised him from the dead. It all culminates to this decision point.
Yeah.
Either you believe, receive this word, are forgiven of your sins and are now given a new power to live differently, and a new power that will grant you at the end of your days life, even as you pass through death. Life will be on the other side of that. Or you reject it and you go away. But it comes to a decision point. The preaching of the Word of God, the preaching of the kerygma, in some ways must always culminate with a response of, are you in or are you not?
Yeah. No, it's very good, Pete. What I find really interesting, and hit me as you were speaking here,
yeah.
You know, in verse 36, we talked about, as you read yesterday, you know, the culmination of Peter's proclamation about Jesus ends by saying, let all the house of Israel know that God has made him, that is Jesus, both Lord and Christ. And so we talked about that Lord and Christ yesterday. So at the point of declaration that Jesus is the Lord and is the Christ, conviction comes to their heart.
Yes.
And they're cut to the heart. This is what the Holy Spirit wants everybody to know. This is the most crucial piece of information any human being can know ever, literally, is this right here.
Yeah.
And this is why God's Spirit penetrated their hearts that day, and they were cut to the heart. And that meant they were convicted, and it stirred them. And part of it, I just want to read some things from the Catechism here that'll give you a sense of what the Holy Spirit is filling them with. Part of it is a healthy fear of God.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's what leads them, partly to lead them to turn. So paragraph 678, it's beginning to talk about Jesus as the judge, because he's Lord, which means Peter will say in Acts chapter 10 that we're witnesses to his lordship, and he's the one. We're here to tell you that he's the one who's come to judge the living and the dead. He holds the final read on every human heart in human history,
yes.
Which is why this is the most important thing anybody could know. So here's paragraph 678. Following in the steps of the prophets and John the Baptist, Jesus announced the judgment of the last days in his preaching. Then will the conduct of each one and the secrets of hearts be brought to light. Then will the culpable unbelief that counted the offer of God's grace as nothing be condemned. Paragraph 679. Christ is Lord of eternal life. Full right to pass definitive judgment on the works and the hearts of men and women belongs to him as redeemer of the world. He acquired this right by his cross. The Father has given to him all judgment. He's given all judgment to the Son. Yet the Son did not come to judge, but to save and to give the life that he has in himself. By rejecting grace in this life, one already judges oneself and receives according to one's works and can even condemn oneself for all eternity by rejecting the Spirit of love. So you see how the church understands Peter's preaching here is that the Father has given all judgment and responsibility to make everything right and to separate those who want the kingdom and those who don't want the kingdom. And he's going to expose the human hearts to his light, to his gaze, and his gaze, you can't hide from it. You can't play him. You can't manipulate him. What you really want with your heart is what you're going to get. And guess what's happening here? They're being cut to the heart, and they're publicly saying, what should we do? They're saying this in public, not just in secret, so no one knows,
yeah.
Right? So your cover, your public cover, and all the idols that we want to keep in play don't get exposed, right?
Right.
But here, they're so cut to the heart, they don't care.
Right.
I just want in. I want to know. I know that he's the Lord and the Christ. I believe you. It's a gift to believe that.
Amen.
It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. And so they're saying, Peter, tell us. Then Peter says, as you said so clearly, echoing everything Jesus ever said. And this is the centerpiece of it. And friends, we're not going out to the world to just say, come, we're nice. We'll be nice. Let's all come together and be nice. And let's live a cozy, successful, comfortable American life together. What is he saying? We need to repent. We need to turn our hearts and to come under the lordship of Jesus, giving him everything as he leads us now to be everything we were meant to be in the Father's house. And so we repent. That means we change direction, the direction of our lives. And so many Catholics today in the country, for example, something that everybody knows about, the dramatic thing that happened in New York a few months ago with the Catholic governor of New York saying, hey, we now have enshrined into law the power to kill babies right up to their first breath, and they're dancing and singing. Well, guess what? He's living under a different Lord, whether he knows it or not. A disciple of Jesus Christ does not celebrate the killing of the image of God and the power to do that. That's insane. That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's blindness. It's darkness. It's unfreedom, right? And so the word goes out across the world to say, now turn back to God and receive his Lord and obey him and follow him. And if you do that and you repent, he'll forgive your sins.
Yeah.
Because that's what you need to have happen in your life. You need your sins forgiven. And so many people, what do you mean? I'm okay with Jesus, but there's nothing wrong with me. I don't need to have my sins. I'm a good person.
Right.
Well, you're contradicting Jesus right there. Jesus said, no one's good except God.
Yeah.
You call yourself good? What are you, nuts? You're opposing the one who knows everything.
Yeah.
And he's saying, just acknowledge your sin. Give them to me. Let me crucify it on my cross. Come in and receive the inheritance. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. And he does all that because he loves us.
Yes.
It's exactly. Like God didn't need to do that.
Yeah.
But out of love, John 3:16, God sent his son into the world out of love for us. And I think you made a really interesting point there of, you know, let's just say the governor again. He's living under a different Lord. But that Lord that he's living under is still under the lordship of Christ.
Yeah, for sure.
And so the seriousness of the situation is we can delude ourselves to think that we're living a different narrative or that we're under a different authority or that we're playing by different rules. And we can live our earthly life under that reality. But the seriousness of Peter's message is none of that is true or none of that matters because God himself has put Jesus on the throne and his lordship covers all.
Yeah.
And so at the end of the day, whether you like it or not even, whether you believe it or not even, he's the one who's coming to judge the living and the dead. He's the one who is the tension point. You either believe in him or not. And out of love and out of our freedom, he gives us the choice.
Yeah.
You know, we have the freedom to choose him or choose not him. And in some ways, the judgment is less about what he is kind of declaring. He declares the truth about reality, but we put ourselves under judgment when we reject that reality.
Right.
You know, I mean, he's just in some ways giving us what we ask for.
Yeah, exactly. And it's good news that the king's coming again to judge the living and the dead for all those who await his coming, Scripture says.
I can't wait.
And it's like really, really bad. It's the worst news for those who decide to live on their own.
Yeah.
You know, just maybe you have a minute here. I'm just going to read a couple of the last paragraphs here of the catechism so it underlines what we're talking about. So it's not just our thoughts, right?
Yeah, good.
Paragraph 680. Christ the Lord already reigns through the church, but all the things of this world are not yet subjected to him. The triumph of Christ's kingdom will not come about without one last assault by the powers of evil. I think we're seeing some of that right now.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? It may be the last assault. We don't know. Only God knows. 681. On Judgment Day, at the end of the world, Christ will come in glory to achieve the definitive triumph of good over evil, which, like the wheat and the tares, have grown up together in the course of history. Paragraph 682, the last one. When he comes at the end of time to judge the living and the dead, the glorious Christ will reveal the secret disposition of hearts and will render to each man according to his works and according to his acceptance or his refusal of grace. Peter is proclaiming grace, God's mercy. In Acts chapter 2. So we have one more day. Can you return next tomorrow?
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. Friends, I hope you're experiencing the grace we feel like we're experiencing in this moment, just being able to chew on the word of God that feeds us. Have a blessed day. Let's walk in the power of God's mercy and the power of the resurrection of his beloved son. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Peter Burak's new booklet, The Game Changer, in which he talks to us very clearly about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, especially to empower us to engage the mission of the church. That's a calling that's there for all the baptized. If you'd like this free booklet, you could call us at 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to our past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.